Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
Welcome back to Boys Lunch.
Gotcha.
Happy summer, everybody. Happy almost school year. Happy almost fall to all of our faithful listeners out there.
What a horrific thing to say.
We are coming at you fresh off of 22 five-star reviews on Spotify. What? You don't think it's 22?
I don't know about that.
Pull up on your phone. There's a new voice here. I'll let you kind of judge whether you like it or not. Look at that. Five-star, 22 on Spotify alone. And then I think we had like over 20 on Apple Music.
Was this just from the summer? Like summer boredom? Like nothing else to do? Or
that I saw that?
Yeah. No, like the people are reviewing it. Is this just like...
No, Spotify didn't normally show it. I think like within the last few months or so, they finally actually just showed how many like five-star reviews were... Like they made it public.
I don't know. Like I have a lot of favorite podcasts, but I don't know if I've ever had the thought. Like I'm going to sit down and write a Spotify review.
No, that's not saying that they have actually reviewed it.
They've just given us... They give us five stars.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm Joey, joined by my good friend Paul.
Apple Podcast, 25 ratings, 4.8 stars.
Because of Casey Bennett.
Casey Bennett. Can't change his rating.
How many is that? 47? 47 five-star reviews. So thank you to all those faithful listeners. I bet about 75% of those do not listen anymore, but hey,
wow.
Thanks for the five stars anyway.
Well, thanks for the pick-me-up, buddy.
Yeah, I'm a cynical person. We are joined by... I don't know, what would you call him? Intern? You want to introduce him? He's your intern.
We have Mr. Chop Chop Fold Fold himself. We have Aiden McCoy.
Let's go.
As he's known throughout most of Bloomington Normal, Mr. Rayburn's senior intern. But he hopes to shake that nickname come this fall when he attends and takes his talents to Atchison, Kansas. So this is Aiden McCoy, who has joined us for a podcast here before he departs for greener pastures in the... state of Kansas.
Yeah.
Yep.
On the bluffs of the Missouri.
Yep. Where there's a lot there.
Yeah. Also known as Dan.
Dan?
Yeah. Dan McCoy. Good to see you, man.
Has anybody ever called you Dan?
Lots of people have.
Yeah. What? It's his alter ego.
It's not like I'm like a superhero. Like it's not like
you just
it's
like, more like when he starts getting like a little testy, a little feisty.
This is like you take off your glasses, put on shades.
Yeah. That's
gets on his leather jacket, jumps on his motorcycle.
You know, that's just what they call me, Danvers. You know,
yeah. It's the Danvers. Danvers. Anyway, Aiden just graduated from Central Catholic High School. Did you have high honors? Do you mind telling everyone your GPA?
3.87.
How much do you make a year?
Next to nothing.
How much did you pay for your house? Aiden was a star student, star athlete, star theater.
Wait,
person, star, singer.
Wait, did you just play a single sport?
No.
Really?
Not once? Not even like a dabble with PE. Tennis?
Thank you. Yes, I did the mandated requirement of 2 years of PE.
But you are an Eagle Scout, though.
Eagle Scout, he's an all-star. What'd the Red Cross give you?
Okay, so I don't think they gave me anything. I think
this man's given us so much blood.
He's a super giver.
No, it was more just the teacher. It's like, you come to the blood drive.
Oh, okay.
Here you go.
They got to choose. I thought the Red Cross was like, oh my gosh, we haven't seen this much blood before. Let's give this man an award.
No.
He single-handedly saved a lot of lives.
I don't quite know. So apparently I was supposed to get a scholarship for like very minimal money. I don't think I got that.
Like they're going to toss you a couple hundred for
probably
the like 20 pints of blood you've given them. Anyways, Aiden McCoy. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
How's your summer been?
It's been good.
Post high school, how do you feel?
It's good. Haven't kept in touch with as many people as I thought I would.
Jeez.
That's quick.
I've cut a lot of people out.
No, it's not like I'm burning bridges or anything. It just makes you get busy.
Did you go to grad parties?
Did
you see people there?
Yeah.
And then kind of once those died away,
yeah, it was just like people were working, people were buying stuff for... you know, school and get ready for that.
And like vacations. I think it's just, even if you weren't going to college, it's just, you're never able to line things up the way you think you're going to.
No, that's for sure.
I also hate texting people so much.
Yeah.
And so if I'm not going to see you anytime soon.
You're too busy sending selfies on Snapchat. That's why I
don't
like texting.
I don't have Snapchat, but yeah. Thank you.
Now, how was Aiden's grad party?
to both of you.
Thanks for bringing that up. I didn't go. Did you go?
No, I had the Indy 500. Come on, priorities.
What did I have?
You didn't have anything.
I think we were actually in town.
Yeah.
Something actually happened that day because there was that like two not... that I was thinking about going to, and yours was one of them, and then I just didn't.
Okay, well, like two weeks before that, when I was in, like, coming back to school to like grab some stuff, and I was sitting down talking with you, you're like, yeah, I'm not coming to that. Like, I don't do that.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe I was just like, I was so just honest and upfront. I'm checking my calendar. All I have is St. Bernard of Menthon on that day. So
we throw a big feast every year. But you and I are kind of famous for not going to most.
Yeah, I mean, just want you to be able to enjoy yourself with your family and friends and not with me. You know?
We do appreciate the invites.
We came there Friday evening. We did all the stuff. Then we did all the stuff Saturday and left at like lunchtime.
We didn't really
Saturday.
Give,
Yeah.
We don't really give the listeners some details.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I went to dinner.
I do appreciate the like no nonsense. Like if my dad and I would have gone on a trip, it would have been the same way. Like if we're done at noon and there's no more things, we're not going to stick around. We're just going to drive home.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stay another day. Like we got things
them,
to
like,
do.
Can we like? Do we have to stay or can we leave?
Yeah. That's right.
Well, what was it? Oh, well, yeah, we didn't go to lunch because I just didn't really want lunch, so we just left.
He's going to make a lot of friends when he goes to college.
I don't like texting people. I don't like lunch.
Okay. No,
I don't like lunch.
Not like opposed to the idea of lunch. I wasn't hungry, so I left.
Anyway, we got a Gen Zer here who's just getting ready for college. Yep. We're going to pick his brain a little bit. He's been a good presence to have around. You know, we've enjoyed him at school. Have you gone on any trips? Mm-hmm. Done anything this summer? No?
I mean, I've just been kind of working and seeing people. Haven't done, we didn't have any vacations planned just because we were trying to get stuff ready for school and all that.
How many hours does an 18-year-old put in, like, at work during the summer? Like a week?
Well, like, I wish.
What have you been averaging?
Only like 15 to 20.
You picking up extra shifts? No. Like, Tommy calls. I'm like, hey, Aiden, I got tickets to a concert. Are you filling in for him? Or?
No, because no one asked me. Like, it's just, it's more like a, well, it's just not how it works anymore. It's just like, I'm sick today, and they send it in our work group chat, and it's just it's like, I guess I'll do it.
That's really sad. I'm sorry you haven't made any friends there.
Well, it's not, I wasn't looking for, like, close-knit friendships at Cold Stone.
Well, maybe you're not always looking, but you might find them.
Yeah, there's a lot of camaraderie there.
Curious how this mic is working on three voices.
You really think it's that bad?
No, it's gonna look good.
I just don't
you project
like,
well.
Well, I don't want to project too much. I don't want to like blow people's ears out.
What?
Like, I don't want Ricky to be listening and be like, I'm not.
You think Ricky's listening?
I hope so. He's 25 episodes.
I wanted to invite Aiden. I have been giving him a hard time, and I know we do, but I really enjoy him and his outlook on life and just having conversations with him. And he has been a good supporter of us and been interested in the podcast. So I wanted to see him before he left. And I'm excited for him and his journey in Benedictine. So I wanted to see him before he went away on his great adventure of college. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Just to set the scene for you, Aiden did bring a candle that is chrism scented, mostly upon my request.
Sacred Heart artisanal candle from U Catholic.
It's pretty amazing. And brought us coffee from Coffee Hound.
Our sponsors for today.
Coffee Hound.
Coffee Hound. They don't know it. Probably don't want it.
Just three guys with a candle lit and some flowers.
Was some chrism lotion passed
around? Some chrism lotion. Honestly, I'm making fun of it, but this is... I have some questions for you. Is that okay?
Yes.
I don't even remember what I asked you. I thought it'd be interesting to get your thoughts on things so people don't have to hear us all the time. You are different, Aiden. In a way of, as an eighth grader, I remember seeing you, and Mr. Ryan was kind of telling you the same thing. Like, I remember seeing you in junior high and seeing you at least outwardly interested in your faith. And that's just not necessarily the case with most people your age. They don't like demonstrate, they're not volunteering to help out a church. I think that's interesting. And I know it's not always been like incense and roses for you.
That's nice. What a great band name.
What
incense and roses?
Yeah. What has captivated you the most in your relationship with God in your journey with the church? Like, what was it that, like, I don't know, got you hooked onto this thing that this is like worth it?
So like early on, it was very much like about the liturgy. Like, I like going to Mass. I sang at Mass. And, like, that's, I think that's where you might have seen
me. Yeah.
Okay.
We're seeing an angel.
Okay.
Like, there's a typical person that canters at Mass. And you just weren't the typical person that canters at Mass. So I think it was just like
exactly what you mean.
You're thrown off. You're like, oh, that is a young man who is cantering at Mass. Who, like, I teach the high school. He's obviously not in high school. He's young. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I just thought that there was an 8-year-old boy lost. He's trying to find his mom. I was just like, going up to, like, look for her. Then he just started to sing. I was like, oh.
So it was kind of liturgy.
Yeah. Like, because from an early age, it was like, I just enjoyed going to Mass. Like, it was something I looked forward to every week. And then it was like, I got into altar serving, and then I got to really, like, understand what's like really happening. And, like, when you, like, serve, you get to kind of hear some of those, like, silent prayers that the priest says under his breath you don't normally hear. It's like, even stuff like that was like, I feel like I was being, like, let in on something that I didn't know about. And then, like, singing, and, like, I like being able to contribute in that way. But it was a good interest, but it was, like, somewhat shallow to the point, like, I just like singing, so I want to sing at Mass. But then when I got to Central, it was seeing, like, the diversity of the faith, in the sense, like, so many people, like, pray and act and are, like, have devotions that are so vastly different, but they're all, like, such holy people. And so, like, I really started with, like, the making a regular confession, and that was, like, the beginning point of Central, like, seeing the impacts that I can have and how that can, like, affect my daily prayer and my weekly prayer. And then just really striving to try to, like, do a little better in my everyday life. But then just every year meeting more people who had different devotions, who prayed in different ways. And that was the part, and that still to this day is what captivates me the most, is just the, like, spring of different prayers that we have in the Catholic Church. It's like, recently I've been, like, captivated by, like, a lot of the prayers of the East and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know if that was.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think
I tend to ramble. So
no,
I
was a similar way. Like, my parents had us altar serve, and that was my biggest connection to the faith growing up. And, like, to your point, those nuances of the liturgy, like, seeing them from that side, and just, like, the beauty, like, one of the questions we had, I think Allison Tarr asked us, like, is Mass something that you think you can evangelize with? And I think, like, especially when it's done well and the way it's intended to, like, there's something to the beauty of it, the tradition of it, the historical significance and connection to so many different cultures and people, and just, like, the connection back to the roots and who Christ was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's, like, I wish more people gave that a chance to be, like, moved by the beauty, the order, and just, I don't know, the intimacy of the Mass. Because I think that's, like, you were able to give it a chance, but also, like, just saying that you went to confession, like, the sacraments of the church can be such a great in, and I don't think enough high schoolers are actually giving them a chance, like a real chance. We have a lot of kids that'll go to confession and they'll like it in the moment maybe, but they're not really, like, opening themselves outside of that one day.
Yeah, and also, like, good and holy priests in my life were, like, a huge impact. So the main one that I would note is Father Joe Baker. Like, he was the chaplain at Central when I went, and so he was the one I first started making, like, a regular confession to. And he's just someone who he will, like, charitably, like, slap you across the face, and and that was just, like, really helpful. And, like, for someone I wouldn't consider myself, like, a super sensitive person in matters like that, like sin and stuff. And so, like, I like that, like, blunt and direct. Like, this is how. Like, this is what needs to happen. And so he was really helpful with that. And, like, he exposed me to a lot of different prayers and things that were just really beneficial throughout that first year. It kind of, like, kind of set the foundation for the next 3 years.
Nice. Yeah, it's funny, the importance of, like, good and holy priests and, like, having them present in your life and in your community. And just, like, good holy marriages.
And that's why, like, being able to be exposed to so many different people, like, living their vocations in different ways was, like, really impactful, because that was a huge part, is, like, hearing even what a vocation was and what that even meant for someone. And it's especially hearing that it's not something that you just have to worry about later. It's like, mm-hmm. no, like worry about it now, just because you're not going to be fulfilling it in the, like next year doesn't mean like it's not time for you to start discerning and start praying about it. And so having all these resources of people to just go talk with was like super important to me and super impactful.
There's a beauty in when people invite you into their relationship with God, almost like when they invite you into their vocation, like you notice something different about them. Like I just think of like great mentors I had, and like it's not like they were explaining how they're a good husband and father. Like they just like invite you into their life and it inspires you, or like a good priest invites you into their life and you see and recognize something different. That like makes all the difference, and we need more people like that in the world. Paul, do you have a question for him?
No.
Good. What are you most looking forward to about college? That's an easy little toss-up for you.
I think it'll be much more people who I can like relate to, because I think with like I was able to like especially towards the end like relate to like a lot of my teachers and stuff like that, and like discussing like day to day like faith wise. But I couldn't always like talk a ton with like my peers, which was sometimes hard because I didn't know as much as like I love the relationships that I had with like the two of you or like other teachers, like sometimes it would be nice to have someone just like on the same level to just like talk about the day to day, like this is how I'm feeling about prayer, stuff like that. So I think I'll be able to find that more. And yeah, just especially just building some like strong relationships that are formed with the or founded on the faith.
You know, it's a tough balance though, because I think one of the challenges we try to give you and a challenge that I try to give myself sometimes is like, you can't always have the intimate moment of the Last Supper where you're with great people that are inspiring you. Mm-hmm. Like there's sometimes where Christ dies and leaves and you're just like sitting in the upper room. Like, what do we do now? Like we got to like go out and do something. He's with us, but he's not with us type of thing. So when I look back at college, I think when we went to Atchison this past summer, those were the feelings we were having, like a connection to this place that like fed us and was like a good source of grace, but it was a bubble and we needed that bubble for that part of our lives. We can't just stay in that bubble. It wasn't practical to stay in the bubble, mm-hmm. but like sometimes you have to run the hills and like take care of your family and yourself and be filled with that grace and understand the relationship to go do the mission, which I think it's exciting for you to go and hopefully be filled.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to be that, not selfish, but like, this is where God wants me to be right now, to be around these people that I can form these strong relationships with and grow and learn from.
I love that you asked him to speak on behalf of his generation.
How many times have we get an 18-year-old on the mic?
That's true.
Like, we just keep speaking the 30-year-old truths of the world, and I want to hear from a teenager.
Yeah.
Do you like that? What was the question?
What is the redeeming quality about your generation?
You like that?
Yeah.
Everybody hates your generation. Tell us why we shouldn't.
So well, I think like I want to like frame things in a positive way, because I think there is good things about people. You know, like
they're okay.
You know what I mean? Like every generation, there's something to learn from. It has strengths, and I think we focus so much on the negatives, which I do want to talk about. But what do you think is that? What is it?
No,
being part of this Gen Z weirdo culture.
So one like
freakazoids
going off like the generation of like Catholics that are like my age, like going from that angle, there's been I think like a huge return of people that like I want just like the traditions of the church, like I want to be devout, and I don't want just this like kind of feel good Christianity anymore. It's just like the happy-go-lucky like type of prayer. And so I think people are, and obviously not everyone, and this is always going to be like not fully true because it's a super broad statement, but I think there's just like a trend of people who are like, no, I want to stand my ground, and like I want to believe what the church believes, and like I want to live how the church wants me to live. And if I offend people, if people don't like me, if people turn away from me, then like it's not worth it, like my own salvation. So
it's interesting. We're part of, I would say, the John Paul generation. John Paul II really like changed the dynamics of the church in America in the 90s. Like he started to have priests that were forming people in the 2000s, which is like when we were in school. Those were like the John Paul II priests. Mm-hmm. And now I think we're going out and like in parishes, you're seeing more families within that generation. Younger families are coming back. But I think then teenagers are like seeing maybe churches that are bringing back some more of the reverence and the truth. And I think, like you said, they're cutting through a lot of the BS of the culture and like the lack of authenticity or like foundations in anything. And they're like, we just like want what is true. And we actually do want to be connected to people that came before us. And I think I don't think you're exaggerating. I think there is a bigger movement than people realize in the church of that.
Yeah. And I don't think it's just like just my generation. Like, I think it's just as much like yours as well, that people are almost feeling like it's almost like making people upset that they didn't even realize that this part of the church, this like these prayers, this tradition was like there this whole time. It just wasn't ever given to them. Like, basically like the prayers that almost all of the saints that you know have prayed, like things like that, is just like something that we were never taught. It was just like never even an option to be given to us. And so now that people do have this option a little more often to return to that, I think they're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I think something that we've picked up on is your generation's desire to be challenged, to be pushed, to be fed. And I think a lot of it comes from, you use that word authenticity. I think there's a real desire for us, for them. I mean, I think when we've polled students before, they hate nothing more than being lied to or feel like they're being spoken down to or condescending.
Or hypocrite. They don't like hypocrites. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Like there's a big sense of like, they don't like phoniness.
And I think that's something beautiful that the church has and can use. And I think we've seen that in your generation is that return, because people see the authenticity, the history, and just the strength that the truth wields.
I think we're also like, we very much appreciate bluntness in things that we don't, especially when it comes to matters of the faith, that we don't need everything to be like cloaked in some long analogy or some like metaphor of things. Like, we're just like, no, just tell us how.
You're so used to getting answers to everything else in life very quickly.
Yeah.
Because you're able to look it up. And I think that's how you guys receive it. Well, just tell me like what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
What are we on?
Well, he was speaking on behalf of his generation. I don't know if you want to return to Central. We could talk about why he's going to donate to Central Catholic.
Yeah, as we take a little break here and kind of transition, why are you donating to Central Catholic?
What is it that Central Catholic provided you that you feel like you have to give back to Kevin Cook?
Wow.
We're waiting.
Sorry. In like an actual sense, like they actually did do a lot for just the like constant opportunities of like different ways to live out the faith. And not even the faith. Like, I know that's like the majority of what I talk about. But like just the opportunities just like be around people and just have like community with people. Like they're always encouraging, at least that's how I felt, is like I always felt encouraged to just like go do more, like go do this event, like go cheer on this team, like even if it's just like a random like lacrosse game on a Wednesday night. Like, it was like go
Ricky.
That was a bad example. I never went to a lacrosse game.
Oh,
I was encouraged.
They wouldn't have known. You could have lied to them.
I was encouraged.
It's the most Gen Z thing. Love that. Yeah, I mean, they encouraged me, and I really love that. I did not leave my house.
But like, seriously, like, I think besides the cross, just because I didn't know when it was happening, I'm pretty sure I went to every single.
Are you going to list everything you went to?
No.
You don't need to justify yourself.
I got to like take advantage of like just going to support people, even the people that I'm not super close with. And like, it was cool because you could see these people were like really gracious or really grateful, like that you came to something, like came to an event, and they just thought that'd be cool. And so it was nice to be able to see that, because then with the stuff I was involved in, with like a lot of the like musical or concerts and stuff like that, it was really cool to see people.
Not just musical, but tumbling as well.
Okay.
Remember his?
Oh yeah, Willy Wonka.
Oh my goodness, that was like the most perfect tumble role I've ever seen in my life. You guys have all seen the movie.
No, it was cool to
see. Aiden did it better.
Oh, yeah. He did. I think.
That was the first thing you two said to me. It was like, you did that role and we were dying.
It was so good. Like, it wasn't like we were laughing at you. It was just like actually, I wasn't even laughing. I was like, oh my gosh, that was awesome.
I don't know why I was surprised. The man's an athlete.
He is.
What are you talking
about? I think that's the human experience, is we want to be formed as a whole human, not just like that we're praying a rosary all the time. It's like you have the opportunity to meet people and learn from them and like find joy in life and things and going to events. That's why I've loved Central. That's why I love Benedictine. And that's why I like working where I am now. Like, there's a mission in our school and an intention that we're forming as a human. I don't care what you, like, I asked for GPA, literally do not care. Obviously, I want you to try and be, like, respectful to the people that you're, like, listening to. But I just care so much about the formation of you as a human being.
Yeah. Okay, but, like, to that point, like, you know, like, it says, like, St. Paul says, like, pray unceasingly. But, like, I feel...
Say Paul, yeah, pray unceasingly.
But, like, if I did what you, like, if, like, with that example, if I just spent all my time, like, oh, just going to the chapel and praying my rosary, just, like, keeping my head down, but, like, making sure I was always praying, like, it wouldn't have been the same. I feel like the part that, like, formed me the most was being able to, like, live that way, but also, like, not in, like, a prideful way, or at least I tried not to do it in a prideful way, but, like, live that way in public, like, being around everyone. And, like, it doesn't take long for people to kind of realize, like, you care about the faith, because it's pretty apparent, even at a school like that. And so once I did kind of embrace that, but still kept going to everything, I think that's why I was able to build the most relationships with people, because I got to be myself comfortably, because, like, everyone just accepted to a certain point, like, yeah, this is just how he acts, and or this is what he likes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so that was really good.
Yeah, I think it was a beautiful testament to the faith itself that you can have such a devout life and such a beautiful prayer life and have these passions for the church, but that's not incompatible with the interests of a normal high school student. I mean, I think I was speaking of another athlete, Pier Giorgio Frassati, right? They are often compared, Aiden and
Pier Giorgio.
Pier Giorgio.
Yeah. People call him PGA.
But just, like, this idea, like, this young, passionate, involved in many things, joyous, right? I think that was something, that, yeah, you were friends with people from all sorts of different, like, pockets of your classic high school cliques. Not that we have them in the same extent as the 90s movies try to tell you. But it's, yeah, that was cool to see. And I think that was beautiful. You were, yeah, you're comfortable with who you are, and that was good.
I think I needed to see that growing up in people. Mm-hmm. That this wasn't like an isolating lifestyle. It was actually like a joy-filled lifestyle. And when I saw people, like, just authentically being who they were and, like, joyful in life without compromising, like, the truths they believed in, that was, like, big.
Well, and this is kind of like a blunt way to say it, but, like,
say it, brother.
Until
nobody's
meeting
listening.
The two of thank you.
They've turned this off 20 minutes ago. Go ahead.
Until meeting the two of you, like, I didn't know you could be...
I'm sorry. I can't do that to you. I'm so sorry.
You can be, like, a faithful, devout person, but, like, not be weird. But do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There is so much, and it's a stereotype, but it's partly true, because some people do act like that. And that's great for those people. Like, they are who they are. But sometimes it's like...
You're going to meet some weirdos at Benedictine.
Oh,
sorry,
that's already out.
Yeah.
But there's this, like, pressure, like, no, I need to be like that, and it's like, no, like, be who you are, just,
you know, you'll set the world on fire. Be who
nice.
God meant you to be.
That was smooth transition.
See, Catherine of Siena.
Yeah.
Along the same topics.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Of Central Catholic. It is July 20th. You're probably, your last day of school was May 14th, right? Somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah.
You are still in your school uniform.
Aiden famously just has a closet of polos and khakis. Those are some of my favorite conversations in CCL when we would just, like, honestly ask, like, when you're just around the house, like, you just mowed the lawn, you go inside, like, are you do you wear shorts?
Yes, I wear shorts.
Okay.
I went to mass this morning, so this is what I wore.
Okay.
I'm also gonna go to work, so I'm gonna change my shirt.
So, I will be spending,
because it has a logo and I would have written you up in a second.
I will be spending a lot of time in purgatory for the way I treat people.
God have mercy on my soul.
Seriously though. What advice would you give to a high schooler now? A little 14, 15 year old. Because we can give advice all day, but we're old. You're part of that, man.
Just be yourself. And
that's
then... okay. Just okay.
Let me give you a chance.
Hear me out.
Let me give you a chance.
Just like keep, okay, kind of like Michael Scott's advice, like keep it simple, stupid. Like it's not that hard. Just like everyone builds, I feel like builds it up. Like you either have to go off the deep end and doing stuff that maybe you shouldn't do, or it's like you need to come in next morning wearing your new habit and stuff like that. Like there's a happy medium where it's just like, just do 5 minutes every morning before, you know, 8 o'clock or whenever the new start time of school will be. Like,
that's actually, yeah, that's a great point for what we witness so much is that, like, yeah, there is, yeah, beautiful, unit, beautiful. Because I think people realize that, or like they just think in their head, like, I can't bring my messiness to this, or like, I'm going to have to change everything all at once. Like, you will be called to change things, but they will come in time, and God will help you change those things as like you're ready for it. But like just to try it out and to communicate with the one who created you and loves you. Like, I don't think people realize that it's not just, yeah, you have to show up the next day, like with your application for Amaze Days.
Yeah. And it's that's exactly where I started. I started like before I ever like made it regular confession, like was going to all the like weekly masses. I did 5-10 minutes before school. In the chapel, I would go in the side door so like the least amount of people could see me going in there as possible, because I didn't know many people yet, besides like the ones I already went to school with. And then that it just kind of like started from there, because it's, you kind of keep getting more and more comfortable with things. And kind of like I said, like, okay, so the high schooler brain is like not super complex in the fact that like retains things that well. So when someone sees you doing something, they're like, oh, you go to the chapel, they will remember that until like third hour. And then it's just like, they won't remember it. So when everyone thinks like, oh, this person saw me, they're going to be judging me for, you know, this whole week. And it's like, I can't go in there again. It's like, not many people care. It's more just the like, oh, I saw that. That's new. I never noticed that before.
There's a temptation to think that people are always thinking about you.
Yeah.
That you're really that important, that they're like worrying about you and what you're doing. Mm. Yeah. Raven, what do you have?
No, that was good.
Yeah, no, actually, really, it's amazing when you ask people their advice that you can actually learn from them. Because I don't know if I like viewed high school that, or high schoolers that way, but that is like such a true reality of like, we just don't have enough people attempting because they're intimidated, because there are just the extremes. And do you think that's just the case with kids your age now? Like, even not when it comes to the faith, is it like,
well, it's
you have
just,
to like dive all into something and make that your identity.
It's, yeah, I would say so. It's just like, you can't even like trying new things is just like not the like in like cool thing to do. Like if you think of someone who is, they'll like try one new thing, but it, like that has to become like, they can't do anything else. So like someone who's starting football, like they start practice in the summer and then they come in and it's like already like this group of guys who's playing football is like their group. And like, you can't stray from that. So if people are trying to do something a little different, like go to the chapel and stuff like that, like that's probably not like a norm starting off in that group. And so like, that's hard for people to break out of and like break out of that shell. And so I think that was the thing that I never really had like a group, you know? I have friends.
I think you fit in. I think you fit in well with a lot of different people, and I think that's the reality that comes from someone that's grounded in a deeper identity. Like, you don't have to be the music guy. You don't have to be the whatever person.
For sure.
You don't have to be pigeonholed.
I think something in your generation, it's not cool to try new things, but also like to seem that you're passionate about certain things. It's like the try hard generation.
Oh, yeah.
People just getting called tryhards. But I felt like you were really passionate about people, school, the arts, your faith. But I never felt like anyone, at least not that I heard. I mean, you got made fun of a lot, mostly by Mr. Head and I, but like, no, but like nobody, I don't remember anyone just being like dismissing you as just like a tryhard in the faith or in something. Like, you managed to somehow avoid that moniker. So I just, well, what are your thoughts on first just like that idea that people who invest and care too much, it's not cool? And then like, how do you think you avoided that?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of back to the thing I said earlier. Like, even if someone says, oh, try hard, like, oh, you're going to pray. Like, for one, if someone's saying like, oh, you're going to pray, like, cool. Like, yeah. Who cares? Like, you like Jesus? What a loser. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if someone, and I know that's hard to hear, and it's like even harder to like actually put into like application of your everyday life, but it's, I don't know, when I stopped caring if people were like looking at me, or even if people said stuff to me, I like, it just didn't matter. And people would say stuff to me like even more frequently as time got on, but like it just mattered less and less because I accepted to the point that like I kept working at and like trying to become better with prayer, that became like a main goal of mine that I wanted to like keep working at. And so I never really just thought of it. It's just like, yeah, that is what I am doing.
I think that was, I don't know if you're aware of it, but I think that was very beneficial, because I think if they threw those, not even attacks, but like little
jabs,
like to begin with, and you're like, whatever, and they just like rubbed off. Like by senior year, people knew that you liked doing that and they didn't care because it was authentic. And they realized, like, I tried to make fun of it and mock virtue, but like it didn't work. Yeah. And I just realized it was actually like a good thing, especially as they got to know you as a person and saw like the virtue that was coming from you. Like, I think that matters.
And people care more about saying things when they can get a reaction out. So like,
right. And you didn't give them the reaction.
No.
Yeah. Because I think on CCL, I feel like maybe that second
classic
semester.
Classic Christian literature.
Yeah, our senior elective course, which we had like a ragtag group in there, people who maybe weren't the most devout people in the world. Mm. Even just some of the things that they expressed, not that they thought that you ever acted like you were better than them. Like, I think they appreciated that you stuck to who you were. And like they like were saying these things. Like, Aiden was someone in our life that we saw that was like committed to this thing without boasting about it. He was just who he was and was still like joking with us. You were still like able to mess around and like, I don't know, I think that meant a lot.
Yeah, I think you were.
As we're just like building Aiden up right now.
Well, let me tear him down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just seem like someone who got it. All the stuff that we've been talking about, like the fact that you were secure in who you are, your foundation was your prayer and your relationship with God. You had authentic friendships with people. You lived that faith out. You lived the gospel unapologetically, but in a way that was charitable. And in the highs and lows that are going to come in high school, like you knew, it was like in the grand scheme of things, like these aren't, people won't remember this a week from now. These, you know, this isn't why I'm what I'm truly living for, but that doesn't mean that I totally dismiss all that high school has to offer. You seem somebody that was always present to people, to the events and what high school had to offer, but also we're building towards something more. And I think that gave you the freedom to like, yeah, to just be like someone who could, you're just fun to be around. And so that's something why like we enjoyed having you. And that Mr.
Yeah, I don't think we're trying to like make you uncomfortable with like this affirming the way that you approach life. I think it's more of like an encouragement for people. Like,
yeah,
I know that you weren't always perfect in things. And I think you know that. And I think the listeners don't think that you're like being boastful right now.
Yeah.
But I think it's, we want to highlight that like it can be done, and it can be done in a way that is fulfilling and actually works.
And also like one thing that like is probably important to keep in mind is like, even without all the prayer and like faith aspect, like I'm like an extremely extroverted person. So like, no matter like really what I got into freshman year, like if it was like, even if I didn't really get into my faith, like I just love talking with people, and like interacting with people, and like just sitting down having conversations with people is like my favorite thing to do. And so that like played a big role into it as well. It's not like, I don't know, like I feel like part of it I did was, I'm not trying to sound prideful, but I don't want, like, it's hard to work towards something if it's not like your natural temperament. Like if you're an introverted person who doesn't want to like talk to all these people, like, great, like just be who you are.
Yeah. Cause I think we've seen a lot of great people come through who are opposite than you, who have thrived in their faith life.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not everyone's going to look like that.
And I don't want to name like every, we've had plenty of students who are charismatic like you are and are out there, but you also have people who are kind of like, still have the very much the same approach to life,
yeah,
but weren't maybe as much of an extrovert. Like I think of, off my top of my head is Teddy, right? This idea that, like, again, kind of sure of who he was, solid prayer life, friend to many, but I think got a lot out of high school, and well, it didn't have the same like personalities you necessarily as far as like an extrovert, but like still And this is why we bring this up, is to kind of encourage others. And this is a life that can be attained and matched with your own personality. I mean, it's just a life well lived is what the faith can be. And I think you see that, you saw that and experienced that at a young age. And I think many people find that, like I didn't find that until, you know, later in college.
All those 50 plus year old women that are listening, there is hope in the church. This is a young man who's 18 years old, who's trying to live out his faith. Any last thoughts?
Good luck piecing this one together.
It's good stuff. It's going to be a nightmare. We have 52 minutes of stuff to parse through. But I will say, appreciate you coming and for sharing. Mm-hmm. And my shout out is to not you. Who's my shout out to this week? I don't even know. I thought I had something. Paul, do you have any shout outs?
I want to shout out to Bordewicks, Andy and Lacey, and June. I got to see them last Saturday. They put on what is called the Oakland Duathlon, Oakland Street Duathlon, where he plans a 5K run. What is it? 20K bike, 5K run. So it's not a triathlon. It's a duathlon.
Nice.
So he put that on with about, I think like 8 people total did it. There were 4 or 5 of us that did it at the same time. Some people did it at other times. But got to participate in that and then have some fellowship afterwards.
How are your knees?
Knees are doing okay. Okay. Quads are a little sore. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I hope to get you to do it next year. And
I'll come to the fellowship afterwards. Aiden, any shout outs? This is your opportunity.
Thank you.
Shout out on the mic.
Probably all just the, like, who we talked about, like all the teachers that, like, I didn't have to name. Do you want me to name them? I can name them.
Okay. No, because what if you leave someone out and they listen?
It's,
you know,
super awkward. I feel bad because they definitely listen.
But, no, they don't. I assure you.
But yeah, like, they were, like, everything that I talked about today wouldn't be a part of my life unless they weren't, like, as formative as they were. Thanks to you two, and thank you to all of them who helped me.
I mean, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah. There it
is. Thanks for accommodating my request of water. That's really kind of you.
Yeah, very hospitable.
Hour and 20 minutes.
I didn't even offer it. He came and brought us coffee. I didn't offer him a single thing.
Hey, at least
I turned the AC down before he even got here. Anyway, we thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting your thoughts on this stuff.
You want to say for the kingdom?
For the kingdom.
For the kingdom.